The author of Luke promised us at the beginning of this year's gospel that we would hear a narrative of the events fulfilled among believers, all taken from eyewitness accounts and set down in an orderly sequence so we might realize the certainty of the teachings we have received. And so we have, beginning with the angel Gabriel and his announcement of the birth of Jesus and his prophet cousin, who was to prepare the way for the promised one with his baptism of repentance. We heard an ordered account of Jesus' unfolding ministry, beginning with his baptism at the hands of his cousin, how the Spirit of God led him into the desert for a deeper period of prayer and fasting, a battle for his voice and mission against temptations deeply personal and powerfully political. Out of the desert of prayer he came, focused and set on a journey to Jerusalem, that holy city of God. On his way, he has cleansed lepers, healed the paralytic, called his disciples, fed the multitude. We've seen women and men of little or no honor become companions of his. Jesus seems utterly determined to bring them all together into community life in what he calls the reign of God. In his Sermon on the Plain, he gave us a look at his vision of this reign, this kingdom of God. We heard him name as blessed the poor, the hungry, those weeping now, those hated now, those despised and excluded, insulted and left out of the religious, political, and economic community on account of him and his inclusive mission. The mission in a bullet point goal and objective is this: to announce that the reign of God has come into sight, and all of us who would be known as friends of God must now do what we can with what we have been given. And the time is now. Today we pick up the account in his final days before he reaches his destination. Imagine now the crowd still surrounding Jesus and Zacchaeus, one of those without honor, a tax collector. Jesus plans to dine at his house, and we just heard him say to the crowd, "I have come to seek and to save what was lost." The crowd rumbles, talks among themselves. Some will follow him the rest of the way to Jerusalem, thinking that the kingdom of God will appear there immediately. Others will join the opposition that will seek or at least sanction his death. Finally, there are the undecided, the bystanders. You and I are part of that crowd, listening to him speak. He turns his gaze on us and tells this parable. A nobleman went off to a distant country to obtain the kingship for himself and then to return. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 gold coins and told them, "Engage in trade with these until I return." His fellow citizens, however, despised him and sent a delegation after him to announce, "We do not want this man to be our king." But when he returned after obtaining the kingship, he had the servants call to whom he had given the money to learn what they had gained by trading. The first came forward and said, "Sir, your gold coin has earned 10 additional ones." He replied, "Well done, good servant. You have been faithful in this very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities." Then the second came and reported, "Your gold coin, sir, has earned 5 more." And to this servant, too, he said, "You take charge of 5 cities." Then the other servant came and said, "Sir, here is your gold coin. I kept it stored away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are a demanding man. You take up what you did not lay down, and you harvest what you did not plant." He said to him, "With your own words I shall condemn you, you wicked servant. You knew I was a demanding man, taking up what I did not lay down and harvesting what I did not plant. Why did you not put my money in the bank? Then on my return I would have collected it with interest." And to those standing by, he said, take the gold coin from him and give it to the servant who has 10. But they said to him, sir, he has 10 gold coins. He replied, I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now, as for those enemies of mine who did not want me as their king, bring them here and slay them before me. After he had said this, he proceeded on his journey up to Jerusalem. If you are like me, you are not sure you understand this parable. In fact, what I do understand makes me uneasy. I don't like it. It is certainly not an image of the God we know or want to know, nor is it like Jesus. Still, there is something about the parable that rings true in our relationship with Jesus, and in the parable he is telling now in our hearing. A response is required of us, like a response is required of the king's servants in the parable. A surrender to his rule is required of us, like in the parable. And Jesus has invested in us, left kingdom coinage in our hands. The truth is, he has left everything in our hands. His mission, his life, his spirit. He has given all he has to us for trade in the markets of our time and place in history. Not only that, but he has promised that his spirit will guide us and that there will be an increase to this kingdom coinage. It will increase because Jesus himself stands behind his investment. We're not to be timid about this investment. We can't be afraid, and we can't hoard it. So we ask ourselves, what are we doing with his investment? Are the poor being blessed in your neighborhood? Are those who weep comforted? Are the hungry being fed? The excluded being brought into a share in community life and goods? Is what he has left us paying dividends? How are you trading with what he's given you?